On this fourth Sunday of Advent, there are a couple of things in these readings that are worth mentioning. The first one is, notice the play on the word house. David wants to build a house for God, but God is planning a house for David. And so the house is his dynasty. Your dynasty, your house, will live forever, God tells David. But of course, that doesn't happen because David's dynasty only lasted a few generations, and then the kingdom split, and then eventually both kingdoms fell. And so the dynasty of David was lost. And yet they kept it preserved in the sense of those who were descendants of David. So you get to Joseph, the husband of Mary, and he is from the line of David. And so the gospel writers make a big point out of Jesus coming from the line of David so that this prophecy gets fulfilled forever, that the line of David would never end. And of course, what we humans, when we hear a prophecy, we think of it in terms of our small minds. And so David is thinking of it in that small way of his descendants staying on the throne of Israel. And of course, the throne itself dissipated after a few generations. But God, of course, is always looking at the big picture, the longer picture. But there's more to it than just that dynasty. There is the dwelling place. And so in that first reading, Isaiah says that God is going to prepare a place for people to dwell, a place of safety, freedom from persecution from their enemies, etc. So that place is the land of Israel, and the land is the fulfillment of the promise. There, God delivers them into this land, this place where they can safely dwell. And then, again, you get back to the gospel, and here is Mary, who is willing to give her body as a place for Jesus to dwell. Her body becomes the house. So is the house a temple? Is it a building? Is it a land? Is it a body? It's all of the above. The wonderful play on that word of house and dwelling place that happens in these readings is very instructive for us. Okay, the other thing is, who's in control here? David falls into that temptation that all kings fall into, and that is, I must be a significant person because I've had all this success. I've united the 12 tribes. I've defeated all of our enemies. I've been a successful king for 40 years. I am in charge of this place, and I'm going to build a temple for God. And God reminds him through the prophet Nathan, you think you're in charge, but you're not. I took you from guarding the flocks. Do you remember the story? The prophet Samuel was called by God to anoint a king for Israel. And so he has this banquet with Jesse. And Jesse has a number of sons, I think 7 or 8. And one by one, they are brought out. And the Lord tells Samuel, not him, not him, not him. And finally, Samuel says to Eli, is this all the sons you have? Well, the youngest one is out guarding the flocks, but he's just a mere youth. Well, bring him in. And as soon as he sees him, David, the Lord says, there, anoint him. Okay, this is a kind of a typical story that happens in the Bible, where the unexpected one becomes the anointed one. The one that you wouldn't have expected, you know, a woman advanced in years and barren has a child. Someone who is the least likely candidate is the one the Lord is choosing. And one of the things that biblical writers are saying about those stories is God is in charge. This is a choice that God made, not that humans make. And on several occasions, the authors would say things like, because God doesn't think the way we think. God sees the heart, not the looks. God chooses in ways that are not our ways. So God reminds David, I took you from the flock when you were nobody, and I've always been in charge. So this is just a gentle reminder. Your son will build the temple, but not you. Mary is the opposite of David. She's an unlikely candidate herself. She comes from nowhere. She comes from Nazareth. She is of the poorer classes. She's uneducated. She's young. There's no reason in earthly human terms that Mary would be the one, and yet God has chosen her, just like God chose Israel, even though they weren't the most likely group of people on earth. And Mary says yes. The story in the Bible basically is about God gathering people, God calling people, and some of them say yes. Abraham says yes to God's call, and he wanders the rest of his life towards a homeland, a dwelling place that he knows not, but he trusts, he has faith. And Mary doesn't understand. She doesn't understand how this is happening. She's afraid, but she says yes. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. And that yes becomes Jesus. And so her body is the temple that holds him for 9 months. But then Jesus, he becomes the temple. He says at one point in his life, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build it up again. And the disciples later realized that he wasn't talking about that building of stone. He was talking about his body. His body is the temple, the dwelling place of God on earth. But then the story doesn't end there, because he breathes his spirit on his disciples so that they become temples. They become living stones building up the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is the church. And we're not talking again about a building here. We're talking about us. We're talking about the bodies in this room that are temples of the Holy Spirit, that are the dwelling places of God in the flesh. Well, we're a little bit like Mary. Just hearing that is a little bit frightening. Having been chosen, whether we deserve it or not, and most likely we don't, having been called to a duty, to a responsibility that we don't even know how we're going to fulfill that. Who could be worthy of that? And yet Sunday after Sunday we're called to this table, unworthy though we are, to receive the body and blood of the Lord, to take him in to our temple and have him dwell there so that we can be the presence of Christ in Manhattan or wherever we go. And what that's going to look like today and tomorrow, we just trust like Mary did. We're made servants of the Lord. It's the Lord's decision how that's going to work out. All we have to do is trust.